I've looked a couple of times at this little phrase, after this. After this. That phrase, those two words, are found 53 times in the Bible. Now, sometimes it just says after this manner. It doesn't apply to what I'm talking about. But many of those times is saying that something happened, and when that happened, after this, there was a change. After this, something happened. After this, something was different. I've looked at Abraham, and it says, after this, when he buried his wife, that was dealing with sorrow. And I also looked at Job, and it talked about after this, and that was the talking about suffering. I want to look this morning at this separation. Look in verse 1, chapter 4, Revelation. After this, I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and right about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like unto a lion, the second beast like unto a calf, the third beast was like, had a face of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not night and day, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I'll stop off reading there. You talk about a difference. You talk about an after this making a difference. John is receiving a vision. John is receiving the Word. John is receiving what we have as our book of the Revelation. And as Jesus is wrapping up the first things and dealing with the 7 churches, he says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. We recognize that to be the rapture. You talk about a difference. You talk about an after this. You talk about things being different. You talk about separation. You see, that's what death is. That's what the rapture will be. Our bodies and our spirits, our souls will be separated. And in this building this morning, in fact, across the entire world, you fall into one of 2 categories. If the Lord were to come right now, and he may, he said, behold, I come quickly. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's no doubt that he's coming. He is coming. And he may come today. He may come before I say another word. Some scoff at that. Some laugh at that. And one of the reasons they say that he isn't coming is because he hasn't come yet. But friend, he's coming whether we're ready or not. He's coming whether we expect him or not. He's coming whether we believe it or not. And if he were to come right now, this split second, there will be 2 different types of people in this building. There will be those who have left, and there will be those who are left. If he were to come right now, those who will leave, you talk about a difference. You talk about an after this. When this happened, things changed. That's what after this means. And those who will leave, those who are leaving when he comes, you talk about a difference. To begin with, the first few seconds we'll be realizing. It'll happen so fast. There's no warning. There's no blinking lights. There's no bell clanging. When the voice said, come up hither, he was gone. And so it will be with us. The Bible says it like this, in the blinking or the twinkling of an eye. That's not a blink, that's a twinkle. In a split second, we will be gone. And all of a sudden, those who are leaving will begin to realize, I'm not on earth any longer. Something has happened. He has come. And all I wonder what those first few seconds will be like. When we first start to realize, I've got a glorified body. I'm not hurting anymore. I'm not fat anymore. I'm not too skinny anymore. I don't have that ugliness. I don't have that meanness. I don't have that old spirit is gone. All that's left behind. All that's down here in this world gone forever. When we first start to realize, I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I like to think about it. I don't know how right I am. I know the Bible talks about certain things I can be sure of, but for the most part, there's a lot of mysteries as far as heaven. There's a lot of mysteries as far as our glorified body. There's a whole lot of mysteries about our eternity in heaven and all that that's going on. But I do know this. All of a sudden, our minds will be clear. There'll be no confusion. There'll be no questions. There'll be no fear. There'll be no anxiety. There'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no anger. When we first begin to realize I'm on my way to heaven and I've got a glorified body somehow on the way, the Bible says we'll be changed. We'll realize. But we won't just realize, I believe we'll rejoice. Some of us sure ought to practice up a little bit more down here for it. But when we go to heaven, I'm talking about after this. Man, you talk about joy. You know all our joy here is mixed with anguish. As much joy as you can have, as much happiness as you can enjoy, it's always mixed with this world and these bodies and these thoughts and the problems and troubles and difficulties. We have never had total joy, but when we leave, we will. Complete joy, complete peace, complete contentment. We'll be rejoicing. We'll thank the Lord the fact that we got saved. We'll be so glad that we trusted Him and that we didn't turn away when the gospel was presented to us. We'll be rejoicing. We'll be reuniting. I see some empty spots in pews. They're empty because these folks have already gone to heaven. And they're waiting for us. And if he was to come right now, we would be reunited with them. Mama's not going to be little and feeble anymore. Daddy's not going to have cancer. Sister's not going to be frail. As much as we love them now, there's still that humanness. You love your sister, but she's your sister. You love your brother, but he's your brother. You love mom and dad, but they're mom and dad. You love your friends, but they about drive you crazy. All that'll be gone. I am looking forward to loving without any kind of hindrance. of being reunited with people, and there's no friction. There's no differences. There's no difficulties. There's no trouble. It'll be all gone, and those people that we saw suffer here, they won't be suffering then. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return to receive you unto myself. That means me and you and them, whoever, will be together then. John said, after this, if he were to come right now, what a difference that would be. We'll be rewarded. Ryan touched on that this morning. I get to go to heaven. But there'll come a time when I stand before Him and He'll give me crowns, He'll give me rewards for doing what little bit I've done for Him, and even what I've done for Him was His power. What I've done for Him was out of gratitude. What I've done for Him counts for Him. But He'll give us rewards. He'll give us crowns. Somehow we'll be rewarded. We don't just get to heaven, but we get rewards. Hey, if He was to come right now, those who are saved would leave. And sooner or later, I don't know exactly when, we'll stand before Him and He'll say, well done. If He can say that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm amazed at that. I mean, just getting in is wonderful, but getting rewarded on top of it. But I believe we also will be reminded, because this verse is in the Bible, Revelation 4, look in verse 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat upon the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. There'll come a time, if somehow I can get a crown, there'll come a time when I bow on my face and say, oh, Jesus, You deserve this and not me. Oh, if it wasn't for You, I wouldn't even be here. If it wasn't for You, I wouldn't have done what this crown represents. If it wasn't Your power, if it wasn't Your grace, if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't You, I wouldn't have a crown. I want to let You know You're the one that deserves it. You take it. You're the one that deserves the glory. We'll be reminded then how we got there. Nobody be walking around saying, man, I sure did work hard. I sure did live right. I got a long string of Sunday school pins. No, it'll be to His glory. But you know what? That only deals with part of us. John said, after this, when He comes, I hope all of us are leaving. But I'm afraid all of us won't. I said to begin with, if He were to come right now, you either would leave or you would be left. We who leave, I talked a little bit about that. But what about those who are left? Those who have left, I've talked about. But what about those who are left? John said, after this, things will never be the same after this. And after this means my life changes. In this case, my eternity changes. Those who have left are rejoicing in heaven. Those who have left are enjoying the good things of God. But those who are left, the opposite is true. If you're left right to begin with, after the Lord comes, you'll be realizing where there's a person on the pew where most of these spots are filled with Christians, there will be empty places. There'll be clothes and shoes and socks and crowns and metal out of surgery, glasses, every bit of that will be piled up on the pew and on the floor. You'll see it that quicker. All of a sudden, if you are there, you'll be realizing something's happened. Something's happened. And if you could realize it to any degree, you would realize things will never be the same again. You'll be realizing what the preacher said is true. What that Bible said is true. All of a sudden, you'll be looking around and you see maybe one or two others. And you'll look at each other and say, is it true? Is this what happened? And you'll know there's no other response. There's no other explanation. You'll be realizing, you'll be remembering, you'll remember what this preacher said. You remember that Bible tract you read and ignored? You remember that Christian at work that you said, I just wish he'd leave me alone, he bugs me to death. He just talks about Jesus all the time, I wish he'd just leave me alone. You'll remember it then. You'll remember every time you heard the word. You remember every time you saw somebody with a tract. You remember every time the Lord spoke to your heart and tried to draw you to where he would save you and you said no. You remember then. Once he's come and we are gone and you are left, you'll be remembering. You'll remember when the Lord spoke and you just said, not now. But it'll be too late then. You'll be also receiving. Turn with me to Matthew 24. I want to look at some verses this morning. Matthew 24. I'm talking about when the Lord comes back, some things are going to be different. After this, John said, and after he comes, things will never be the same. Those who are left will realize something has happened, and they'll remember the Lord speaking to them, and they'll remember the preacher. I believe also you'll be regretting, why didn't I listen? Even before he started, before he stopped preaching, if I had run to the altar, if I just prayed in the pew and called on the Lord, I wouldn't be left. I would have left. I wouldn't be leaving, being left behind. You'll regret every time you turn down the gospel. You'll regret every time you said no to the Holy Spirit. But I believe also you'll be receiving, look in verse 15, chapter 24. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation, he's talking about exactly what I'm talking about. After the Lord comes back, what's going to happen? When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. He's saying, I'm telling you now, where you'll listen. I'm telling you now to not put it off. I'm telling you now, before it's too late, you better listen. Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, when you realize what has happened, he's speaking to Jews primarily, but to any person. You run as fast as you can. Don't even go to the house to get extra clothes. You run and get away and hide as fast as you can. Why? Because trouble is on the way. You talk about heartache. You talk about trouble. You talk about the fierce anger of a holy God being poured out on this world. You may stay here a few minutes. You'll look around at the two or three others. And the first thing you'll think about is, I've got to get home. I've got to get home. Something about when trouble comes, you want to get home. You'll jump in your car and you'll turn the radio on and it'll already be broadcasting. airplanes have crashed. Cars up and down the road are strewn all over the place. People are walking around looking in confusion. Trains have wrecked. People are missing. And they're wondering what in the world has happened. You'll hear it on your radio and you'll rush back home hoping that somehow this is just a dream. But it isn't a dream. And like it talks about what I just read, there'll be a man. Now, how long? It may be that very day. It may be the next morning. It may be a week. I don't know. But there'll be a man. And this man makes all the sense in the world. He has so much charisma. He has so much power. Boy, when he speaks, he captures your attention. It is as though you swoon over him. I mean, listen, here's a man who comes and says, I have the answer to it all. I can tell you what happened to those billions or millions that are disappeared. I can explain it, and he will, and it'll make sense. He says, all the trouble in the world, I can handle it. All this conflict between continents, I can take care of it. ISIS and all this terrorism, I can take care of it. I have the answer, and he begins to work, and it works. All of a sudden, there's peace. All of a sudden, there's contracts between opposing continents and nations. And all of a sudden, people in the streets, hey, they're getting along. I mean, here's this man, and he has the answer, and you're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker because it seems to be working. The Bible calls him the abomination of desolation. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. He's a man that brings temporary peace. You think about it. If a man had the answer to every problem this world has, who wouldn't follow him? If he could solve every conflict, every battle, every financial situation, if he promised you financial security and provided it, you'll be receiving it. You'll be believing it. You say, I won't. I'll remember what happened this morning. I'll remember the Bible verses that I've been taught and I've read about the Antichrist coming, and I will not believe it. That's not what God says. The Bible says, God says, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now listen, he causes the both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on the right hand on their foreheads. Listen, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned. This man will be so convincing. Are you listening to me this morning? If the Lord were to come, there will be people who leave or are left. And if you're left behind, all the gospel message you've ever heard, all the warning about the Antichrist you've ever heard, won't mean a thing. You will believe the lie of the devil. The Bible says that God will send you strong delusion that you will believe the lie and be damned. In other words, if you've ever heard the gospel, if you have ever heard the gospel, anybody who has heard a clear presentation of the gospel, if the Lord were to come back, they cannot be saved because they said no to the way of salvation. They heard the word and refused it. You'll be receiving. Did you the verse I just read about he causes a mark? He's got the solution to the financial troubles of the world. All this robbery and bank robberies and convenience store robberies and purse snatching. I got the answer. Throw away the cash. All you need is just a little place on your wrist. A place on your forehead. Run that computer scanner. Boop. No more cash, so there's no reason to rob people. No more banks with cash, there's no reason to rob. But the problem is, if you don't take the mark, you can't buy and you can't sell. What if you got a grandchild or a little baby that needs milk and you go to the store and they say you don't have the mark, you don't get it. And there's people all around looking for people like you who don't have the mark. They're looking for you and their one goal is to kill you. I'm talking about this is not no picnic. This is just the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning of what you're going to face. If the Lord were to come back right now, if you're not saved, you would be left behind. You'll be trapped in a world that's coming unglued. Look in chapter 24, verse 6. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom shall against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. About halfway through this tribulation period, this man called the Antichrist will show his true colors. Without going into all the details, he will reveal himself as he is. And all this temporary fake peace will blow up in the world. All this good that has been happening, all of a sudden, just as good as it seemed, the world gets more evil than ever. I don't have time to even scratch the surface of what's going to happen in those 3.5 last years of the tribulation period. There will be demon locusts that are loose from the bottomless pit and will come and sting those who are on the earth, and they'll suffer from that sting for 6 months. It will get so bad that people will beg God to kill them. They'll try and commit suicide, and God says, no way, you're not going to. They'll long to die. It gets so bad that for those who are saved, there'll be many people saved, those who have never heard the gospel. It will be so bad that the Bible says those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Man, that verse is misused so much. What it literally is saying is this. If somehow, and this doesn't apply to anybody here, by the way, because you've heard the gospel. But those who have gotten saved during the tribulation period, it will get so bad that they will have to run and hide the best they can. And if somehow, he says, if you can endure and stay alive to the end, I'm coming back and I'll save you. Not salvation as far as forgiveness, salvation as far as your life. There'll be people hunting, trying to kill anybody who doesn't have a mark. But I promise you, there's not one person in this room that won't accept it. If you've heard the gospel, you'll say, man, this is the best thing in the world. Why didn't we do this sooner? And when you take that mark, your soul is doomed forever. You'll be receiving all this. You'll fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Not only, but you'll be rejecting. God's going to send some preachers. There'll be 144,000 Jews preaching. There'll be two witnesses in particular preaching. Revelation 11:3, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Well, you'd think, with all the trouble going on, and all the distress, you would think people would flock to the Lord. And when these preachers come preaching, and these witnesses come and preach the gospel, you would think everybody would run, flock to them, and accept Christ as quick as they could. But listen to what will really happen. You will be in this number. Revelation 16, verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. It is so bad, they're gnawing their tongues for pain. And listen, they still don't repent. Listen, and blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their sin. You say, when I see it happen, I'll get saved. No, you won't. You will be with the number who in agony, physical agony, so bad you wish you could die, but you'll still look up to heaven and curse the name of God and refuse to repent. You'll be rejecting, just like everybody else in the world that's not saved, that's heard the gospel before. You'll be rejecting. And then lastly, I want to say this, and I'm done. You'll be repenting. Revelation 20, verse 12. Later on, this happens. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book of life according to their works. You continue reading. It says that God takes those people and casts them to a lake of fire. They are there forever. You will be there forever. If he were to come right now, some would leave and some would be left. And I am convinced with all my heart, when you stand before God and you know the lake of fire is ahead, you'll be repenting. You'll turn from your sin then. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. He will be your judge then. He's your Savior now. You know that everything I've talked about, I believe we're that close to it. You read through the Bible, I won't take time. And you'll see instance after instance after instance, example after example after example of what's going to happen right before he comes. Every bit of it is happening. Every bit of it is happening. John said after this, after he comes, things are going to be different. For every person here, if you're saved after this, means you're going to go to heaven. You'll leave. If you're lost after this, means you'll be left here to suffer in 7 years of hell on earth and then later on be cast into a lake of fire. And the only thing that decided if you leave or are left is what you do with Jesus. That's all. Because he's provided the way of forgiveness, but there's only one way. My good works don't do me any good. My good works don't get me one bit closer to God because my good works are works of my flesh. It's me trying. And that grieves God. That dishonors God. God did not say, if you try hard, do the best you can, I'll let you in. He said, all your good works are as dirty, filthy rags. He made it to where there's one reason, one way, one escape, one way of forgiveness, his son. For us that are saved, this ought to make us want to serve God with all our heart because his son could come at any time. For those that are lost, it ought to make you run to God as fast as you can to make sure you're saved before he comes. Let's stand together. Mindy, if you'll come. Everything this Bible talks about that happens even before his second coming, much of it is happening. But there's not one thing that has to happen before he comes in the rapture. That means he could come before I speak another word. You either will be left or you'll be leaving. If you're not saved this morning, I beg you to come this altar and call on the Lord. Don't be left behind. If you are saved, I beg you to come and say, Lord, help me to serve you with the end in view. And know that what I do, I must do quickly. You mind the Lord, Father, please speak to hearts. Draw, speak, convict, help. I pray that you would have your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As she plays, will you come? Will you mind the Lord?